Some things I don't grab a hold of down here, but I'll understand a lot of things better by and by. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, let's run over to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And we are starting a series tonight on true or false. Amen. Tonight will just be really an introduction on where we'll be headed. And you go ahead and stand as we get there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And then we will be proceeding in the next few weeks on the topics themselves. But tonight, I look at 1 Peter chapter number 3 and look at verse number 15. The Bible says, God's word says, but sanctify the Lord God where? In your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. Think about that now for a second. A reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So tonight really is an introduction, but it's true or false. And we'll talk tonight about this. How to communicate with unbelievers. How to communicate with unbelievers. Father, I pray for your help tonight. We all need it. And I pray, God, as we just go through these scriptures tonight, that's really laying the groundwork on how we should respond and how we need to interact with those who are unbelievers. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us to these truths. And I pray, God, that as we grab a hold of these truths and not only realize it, that it's your word, but also, God, that it's your word that is to be enacted in our life. And I just pray, God, that guide us and direct us. And I pray you fill the Holy Spirit, God, illuminate our minds, open up our minds to truth. Truth as well as falsehood. We need to know the difference. And I pray, God, that you'd help us. And I pray, God, also, there's one among us who is not truly saved, blood bought and born again. I pray, God, they receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. Bless every individual that's watching right now on live stream as well. Lord, I'm excited that there are folks who are watching even now, who have watched from China and Japan and other places, Romania. And for that, God, we pray Germany. For that, God, we praise you. We ask, God, that the news, the good news, will continue to spread abroad to others. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Help us. For it's in your son's name we pray. And by the way, if there's anything whatsoever between you and I that would hinder you from using my vessel, I pray, God, that you forgive me, cleanse me, wash me thoroughly, and then use me for your honor and for your glory. Help us. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. May we see it. True or false, amen. And this is really an introduction on how to communicate with unbelievers. As we begin to go through this series of messages on true or false, is there a God? True or false? Is Jesus God? True or false? Is the Bible from God? True or false? What is it? Is it creation or is it evolution? These are some of the topics we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. But tonight, it's important for us to know how we need to communicate with those who are unbelievers, those who are atheists, those who are agnostics, those who are skeptics, those who are following humanism, and the list goes on. It's important for us to know how we are to communicate with these various groups. Every Christian should be able to give a defense of his hope in Christ. But there's a way to do it. By the way, there's a way to talk to each other. Amen? We don't have to be ugly and unkind, even in the house. There is a way to communicate. I know somebody said, well, I grew up in a home where everybody just yelled, you know. Hey, come over here, get this, hey! I mean, you know, I understand that, but you know what? It's good to be able to communicate in a loving way. Let me rephrase that. A godly way. A godly way. And we're going to see very briefly tonight on how you and I should communicate with unbelievers. The Bible says in verse number 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The first thing, my dear friends, is to be dedicated to the Lord. The Bible says here to be sanctified, but to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That word sanctify means to separate or dedicate or be holy. He says, where? In your hearts. Where's your hearts? The word heart there means your feelings. It's your emotion. It's your will. Give all that over to God. And I'm going to tell you what, when we begin to do that kind of thing, my dear friends, we will interact and communicate with those who don't believe, those who are following a different path than the Word of God. We'll know better how to help them when we have given our hearts over, our feelings over, our emotions over to God, and let Him be the orchestrator of it all. Now watch what He goes on to say here. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be what?
Ready.
Be ready. Be ready. That word ready means fitness or ready. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. He says that you and I need to be ready. We need to be fit. The word means fitness. When I think about fitness, I think about somebody that's in training. Somebody that's doing the jumping jacks. Or they're doing the push-up. They're getting themselves fit. We're going to have a Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. Those guys are getting fit. They are getting in shape. So they're getting ready to face their opponent. But they are ready, my dear friends. You and I need to also be ready and prepared to give an answer of the hope that you and I have. Now this word here, answer, is an interesting word. The word here, answer here, means defense. Like in a courtroom, defense. But now check out this. It also means answer, defense, a verbal defense. Verbal defense. But now watch this. It also means apology. Now, when you and I tell you what, it's very important, and I have no command much over the English language at all, but it's good to have a good command of the English language. Because when you first, I have an apology. Why we got to apologize for what we believe? But look up the word apology. It has more than one meaning. There's one meaning of apology, which is apologize. You're sorry for something. But there's another word, apology, that simply means this, my dear friends. It means a defense, excuse, justification in speech or writing as for a cause or doctrine. That's where we get the word apologetics. See, in Christianity, we have something called apologetics. These are people, my dear friends, who are giving a defense, an answer for the hope that you and I have. And there are not just a 10 or 15 books. There are thousands of books, my dear friends, that are written by apologists or that go around to give defense of the gospel or defense of what we believe. The ones that come to the top of my mind are like Josh McDowell. And what's awesome to me is this. Most of these, not all, but most of these people who are apologetics or apologists are people who at one time that were atheists. Think about what I'm saying. They were atheists. And their whole desire when they first started was to disprove that God existed. Was to disprove that creation took place by God making man and so forth and so on. But then, my dear friends, because they were seeking truth, they found the truth and wind up being born again. And now they are some of the leading. Lee Strobel is one. He's from Chicago. He's a columnist down in Chicago for the Chicago Tribune. He has written many, many different books on apologetics and defense. Gisler or something, I can't pronounce his last name. Now I don't know if he was an atheist or not, but many of these men at one time were atheists or they were agnostics. They were folks, an atheist is someone who does not believe that God exists. And then an agnostic is someone who believes basically this, that you can't know if there's a God or not, that there's no way to find out if there's a God or not. Then a skeptic, of course, somebody who's really skeptical of the whole thing, if they're skeptical about a lot of different things. And by the way, there are basically three what you call worldviews, religious worldviews. One of them is theism, which is what we fall into. But those who fall into theism, and theism means that God made all. He made everything. But not only Christianity believes that, but also Judaism as well as Islam. But then you have what they call pantheism, which is God is all. And this is what you guys learn in school a lot of times. God is all. That deals, that falls into like Buddhism, Hinduism, and New Age. And what I mean by God is all, that means God is in everything. That's what he's talking about, like animals are like God, and plants, and trees, and all this kind of. That's when you get to that New Age stuff. And there's more. We can talk about that a little bit later on down the road. But then there's something that we call, the next one is atheism, which simply, like I said before, is not a God at all. That really falls into what we call religious humanism. By the way, all of these have a belief system.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you say, I don't believe that there's a God, that's your belief.
That's right.
So you have a belief system, my dear friends. And we're going to talk about some of these things down the road. But the bottom line I want to focus on right now tonight was this. Well, the Bible says this, my dear friends, in verse number 15. Be ready, though, always to give an answer to the atheist. To give an answer to the agnostic. To give an answer to the skeptic. Be ready always to give an answer, a defense to every man. That means all those, my dear friends, who fall into these different categories. By the way, the word here, every man, means not only individually, but also collectively. See, in other words, when we talk to people individually, we should be able to give an answer. Or whether it's in a group, we should be able to give an answer. Well, preacher, I don't have that kind of knowledge. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I don't have that kind of... Well, hold on a second. Can you not give them a reason why you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? There is a reason why you received Christ as your Savior. You give your testimony. There's no way that I could be like some of these men I mentioned a few moments ago. When I've been reading their materials and all kinds, I'm like, my brain, you know, I can't remember half y'all names. I mean, so imagine that knowledge trying to cram it in my little bitty brain, amen. But what's so awesome is that God has given us individuals who have this ability, my dear friends, and they can stand toe to toe with the best of those who try to disprove that God is God.
Amen.
But see, what they will try to have us to believe is we're all ignorant. We don't know nothing. Y'all have just got a hope-so type of thing. Well, there's more evidence, which we'll see. There's more evidence to prove that there is a God than evidence that proves that there is not a God.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, it takes more faith to believe that there is not a God. This takes more faith to believe that there's not a God than there is someone who designed all this, my dear friends. And what's amazing is even now there are folks who are scientists and all those other ologists on the end of their names who have come out and said they don't follow Darwinism. They don't follow the evolution. They don't believe that because, my dear friends, because more and more evidence is showing that it's not true. When you start, listen, now, trust me, we have our dictionaries. I'm going to help us, amen. But some of these words are like, was it macronism and micronism and micronism, something like that. But anyhow, but we're going to do a lot of this different type of stuff. But you'll see, my dear friends, that when it all comes down to it, because what we're going to do here is this. It's going to be like being in a courtroom. We're going to lay the evidence down. And once you and I see the evidence, my dear friends, to make a verdict about the evidence which has been presented to you. Is it true or false? Is God real? We give the evidence, and then you make the decision. I'm loving just studying it. It's a lot of stuff going on my head right now, but it ain't time yet. But nonetheless, we see right here the Bible says this. He says, be ready always to give an answer, a defense, to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. That word asking here, my dear friends, means craves or desires a reason. Why? Because some folks really do want to know. They do want to know. They want, and sometimes folks won't say it out loud, but inside, they want to know, what is the truth? What is the truth? People are seeking the truth, but do we have that truth to give to them? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Truth. If there's truth, then there's falsehood. It's going to be. All right, watch this. The Bible says here, so first of all, be dedicated to the Lord. Secondly, be ready to answer. And then, my dear friends, we need to have the right attitude. The right attitude. Look what the Bible says right here. The right attitude in answering. The Bible says right here, he says, as the reason of the hope, word hope here means the faith of confidence that you have, that is in you with meekness and fear. That word meekness here means humility, gentleness of spirit. That hurts right there, Brother Leonard. Because sometimes when we are given an answer, we do it with humility and meekness. We do it with, I got the answer, and you don't. You don't know where the hell was where you headed. And the sheriff said, whoa, wait a minute. These are illustrations here. But there's a right way. The Bible says with meekness, humility, gentleness of spirit. And I've got a lot of brothers and sisters, and you know, we all do, the family of God, and I've seen them not be so so humble. Pride, you know. And some of them walk around, they you can, you know, their chest go way up, you know, and it's, you know, they have that down, they walk through there, you know. You know, I mean, what, that's the wrong type of attitude to have. You know, it's not supposed to be, we're not supposed to be belligerent, or we're not supposed to be ugly or unkind, but the Bible says, the word of God, we say we believe it. The Bible says right here, with meekness and fear. That word fear means reverence, respect. Brett, I told you I'm going to have your name. My mind comes and go. But like Brett, the guy never did come by, baby. He was going to be witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness on this past Monday. He's waiting for him. He's ready. Ready. And I'm sure the materials I gave you to read, one thing they told you, not to be ugly. If they would have came and stepped in his house, and he would tell them, let me show you how wrong you are. How right I am. That's not with respect, and it's not with humility. That's with arrogance, and that's with pride. And the Bible says those things God what? Hates. So we don't look at that as a big thing. They committed adultery. They committed all this kind of stuff. Oh my goodness. Woo! But what about pride and arrogance? Self-righteousness. Y'all don't believe me? Okay. Look at Proverbs. We was almost done. Look at Proverbs. I told you this introduction right here. We can get to the meat of things next Tuesday. But look what it says in Proverbs chapter number 6, I believe it is. Yes, some of y'all know where it's at, don't want to tell me. But look at chapter number 6. look at Proverbs chapter 6. And look what the Bible says here. It ain't chapter 6. There it is. I ain't got it highlighted. There it is. 6:16. Proverbs 6:16. Look what the Bible says. The word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse number 16. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yeah, he says. 7 are an abomination unto him. Ooh, he gonna get me in prison. Yeah, he gonna get me, y'all. The dope head. I'm sorry, that ain't what it say. It says a proud look, a lying tongue, hand that said what? Innocent blood. That deals with that Roe versus Wade thing today. That's innocent blood that's being shed. A heart that divided wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift, running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Well, preacher, this can't be that bad, is it? And he that sowed discord among the brethren. That can't get, wait a minute, what happened to murder? Innocent blood was there. But what happened to some of this other stuff? Discord among the brethren? That ain't no big thing. But I tell you what, if we had folks shooting up, we said they're probably not even saved. But what about the person that's sowing discord among the brethren? Are they saved?
Right.
Well, yeah, they're saved. I mean, that's just, you know, what he said here. God, I didn't say it. God said these 6 things I hate. Woo! That messed us all up. Like the preacher said, a little Bible study and mess our theology all up. Miss a good sermon all the way up. But we need to go by, what does the word say? And the word says, all these things here are not the things that be on the top. Where is adultery at? That's still sin. Y'all calm down. but no, because that was always, that ain't in the 7. Okay. Hold on. But nonetheless, see what I'm saying here. The Bible shows us what's a big deal to God It's little us. Now flip back over there to 1 Peter. And look what it says again. To every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's make sure we are witnessing. Let's make sure we're sharing the gospel. That we are doing with meekness and we're doing with fear, with reverence, with respect. Not with ugliness and unkindness. And notice what he says next in verse 16. Having a good conscience. A good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you, they slander you as of evildoers, they may ashamed that what? Falsely accuse you. So if they do slander your name, let's make sure this is a false accusation. And the Bible says here, they are having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers or a bad doer, a criminal, they may be ashamed, put the blush, that falsely accuse your good what? Conversation in Christ. Now that word conversation in this verse don't mean you're speaking. It could include you speaking. Because it's talking about your behavior. Your behavior. Let's make sure that our good behavior is good behavior when we're given that answer. When we're responding. It's good behavior. It's a good conversation. It's not with pride. It's not with arrogance. Why are you saying all that, preacher? Because, my dear friends, as we begin to look and we study this true or false about is God real and Jesus Christ and all these things like this, I don't want us to have that arrogant attitude when we do meet someone that may be an atheist. We meet someone, my mother, the Bible says, you know, the fool of seven heart, there is no God. He's a fool, he is. Why are you saying that, though? Because sometimes when people that are lost, they're going to hell. Some folks, they're glad they're going. You know, they're going to bust hell wide open. You happy about that? You excited about that? Not for one of our loved ones, we ain't excited about it. But now, what about that guy that broke up my house and stole my flat screen, my 60 inch? Yeah. He needs to be in jail. Wait a minute. That's somebody's brother. That's somebody's daddy. That's somebody's niece. That's somebody. But see, unless it hits home, then we look at it totally different. But my dear friends, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be like who? Like Christ. He was our example. He's our example. He had humility. And the only people he got rough with was who? The religious crowd. The ones who walk around, you know, like they had it all. No, we got it right here. He was on them. He said, you know what you are? Hypocrites, vipers. I mean, he was letting them have it. You know what he was trying to do, don't you? Breaking them. Because see, the way you deal with pride has to be broke. Because see, until you're broken, you walk around like, you know, I got it. I'm self-made man. I did it. Look what I did. Well, God just... Y'all pray. You got to humble us. Yeah. But wouldn't it be great if we start off being humble?
Yeah, amen.
Now don't walk around saying you're humble, like you messed up.
Yeah.
You messed up, you know. Yeah, I'm a humble person. You messed up already, bro. Amen. No, we need to really be. A humble person doesn't say that they're humble. You know. They're seeking to be humble. Paul said, I have not attained. I have not arrived. What are you saying, preacher? Simply this. I just want to have the right type of attitude. Know how to communicate with unbelievers. When you deal with people who are involved in cults, when you deal with people who are atheists or whatever the case might be, agnostics, skeptics, whatever the case might be, let's make sure that we have the right attitude as we begin to witness to them, as we begin to share with them the hope that we have. And not be excited that they are lost. No, let's be excited because they have a potential to being saved. Maybe I can share with them the gospel. You know, if those guys ever do come to your house, I mean, I don't know how they're going to be, but sometimes, especially doing Jehovah's Witnesses, I mean, they can be, they smile, but man, if you hit the wrong button, I mean, they could be really ugly. I mean, I've encountered them, you know, and if you're not careful, you get in the flesh. You want to punch somebody. You know, so you got to have the right mindset. You got to have the right attitude. You got to have the right, and all that comes with you and I taking our heart, like you said in the beginning of the verse, sanctifying it over to the Lord God, giving it over to Him. Giving it over to Him, consecrating it over to God. God, you take my heart, my emotions, my feelings. You take it all, God, and you use it for your honor and for your glory. I got three questions. We're done. This is just an introduction here. So next week we'll get into is there a God? That's what we're talking about next Tuesday. But here's my three questions for you. First of all, have you given your heart over to God? Have you given your heart over to God? Secondly, are you ready to give answers to why you believe what you believe? Are you ready to give answers to why you believe what you believe? Well, mama believed it. Granddaddy believed it. No. We need more than that. Need more than that. Why do you believe what you believe? Are you ready to give an answer for that? And thirdly, do you have the right attitude when responding to those who don't believe? Do you have the right attitude in responding to those who don't believe? Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Now, I've done my best. Lord, this is just a short introduction, Lord, to what we'll be dealing with, true or false. But I pray, God, that right now, Lord, as we do begin to start, help each of us to have the right attitude, the right mindset, the right heart, Lord, the right motives. Because we want to see people saved and people's lives changed, brought to Christ, rescued from the penalty of sin. And Father, I pray that you help each of us, start with myself, help each of us to have the right mindset, Father. And I pray, God, that you, Lord, touch us tonight. And perhaps there are other needs that need to be met. The folks need to come and bring to your throne tonight in prayer. I know a lot of prayer requests came out tonight. But perhaps, Lord, they want to bring these things before your throne tonight. I pray, God, they come. Perhaps, God, there's some things that you lay on their heart as the message is being brought forth. Or perhaps sometime or other today, I pray they bring that over to you, Father. Help somebody tonight. God, we need you. We need more of you. And, Father, we want to give ourselves over to you. Help us to do that. Show us how to do that. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. We don't know what to say, God, but just help somebody tonight. And of course, there's one here that's not sure of their salvation, that don't come forward and get that thing settled. I can show them from the Word of God or someone else. Lord, God, I pray they come. And let's go from there. Of course, in your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.